time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's Monday, March 29th, 2021. Wrapping up this quarter. First quarter. What a quarter. Man, looky where interest rates are heading again today. Golly. Can't wait to get into that with Matt in a little bit here. But it's good to have you joining the podcast. Really excited about the hot topic today. Talk about that in just a minute. But this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. So grateful to have you guys and all the feedback you give me on the podcast. Appreciate it. Text me if you want to get in on comments on today's podcast, as we're going to be talking about recruiting. We got coming in with us a good, he's like a new friend, although I've been in his life and he's been in my life now for a little over a year. Tony Kaiko has become one of my dear, dear buds, and he is knocking the cover off the ball for so many of my clients, finding him the best match for their company and tap talent. We're going to get him some tips and tricks and learn what he's learned and why is it someone like him is so successful at it, why some others really struggle with it. So we're going to ask Tony to come on and reveal some of his secrets, if he could. I think we just all need to find our way of being successful. And Tony's found his way. He's with Affinity 5 Search Group, and we're going to be listening to him and his comments about successful executive recruiting in the Hot Topic segment. So be sure to stay tuned all the way through to the end of the first part of the podcast to get in with us and the Hot Topic segment. Also, industrysyndicate.com. So pleased to be a part of that group. Check out at industrysyndicate.com all of the podcasts related to the mortgage industry, the real estate. Great resource there. So pleased to be a part of that. Also, we're saying a special thank you to our sponsors. Mortgage Bankers Association of America does a great job, lead our industry, especially on the Hill with so many things to do with that and so much more. Good news is they're going to actually have an in-person conference at the end of the year. Just saw Marsha Davies put that out. And also there's going to be an Empower event there. And I never miss these. I love the Empower events. See what they're doing, what Marsha and the team are doing to empower women and really empower the whole industry in so many ways. So anyway, in San Diego, be sure to get signed up. That is going to sell out quickly. I'll be there with the podcast equipment. And look forward to seeing many of you there. That's in October. It seems like forever. At the rate this year's going, it's going to be a blink and it's here. Also, a special thank you to Finastra. The Fusion Mortgage Bot Solution does a great job of helping you create an experience to really integrate your mortgage lending processes and simplifies it so the borrower has the experience that is streamlined. Check out the Finastra Mortgage Bot Solution. They do a great job. Thought leaders in the industry, third largest fintech company in the world, not to mention just how big they are. And they bring, so they're like, why do I want to know the biggest? Well, you know what? When they're working in so many different venues, they bring in all these different aspects of success. So check out Finastra.com. Also go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, and under the sponsorship page, you'll learn more about them. Also, Lenders One, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these are co-ops. Now, a co-op is an opportunity for you as a lender or a vendor to get closer to your community. They're a small organization. These do not replace the MBA. Very important. Know that. But these will help you get up close and personal with your peer group and connect in a more meaningful way. Also, CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America, does a great job. They're not a co-op. It's an association. Also have a unique role in the industry. Also, we have Indicom as a sponsor. They partner with lenders and servicers and mortgage insurers and title insurance companies to achieve one specific goal, and that is to help them grow. Be sure to listen to the interview I did with Linda Bomar and her associates on August 31st last year. Also, Incelerate. Josh Friend's got a great company, Incelerate. Really helps lenders close more loans by radically changing how lenders communicate and engage with borrowers. Again, August 17th, we did an interview with Josh. There's so much information that's still getting downloaded by so many. Knowledge Scoop is a great tool. Ken Perry's a company that does a great job in helping people train, as well as mobility, mortgage, market intelligence. Ben Terlink and his company do a great job of connecting you with LOs, as well as Modex. Modex is the same thing, similar thing, I would say. And in many spaces, they're helping you recruit. And they do a powerful technology that looks at empirical data on what people are actually done. I love what Dale Larson III and Dale Larson Jr., the father-son team there, as well as Ben Terling is in business with his dad. So it's a father-son team driving both of these companies. They do a great job. We use both of them in looking at data and what's going on with various LOs and production groups. We use both of them. I recommend you consider doing so as well. Also, a special thank you goes out to Alice, Allen, Matt for their contributions each and every week. So let's get over to hear what Rob Van Rapport of the MBA has for us with today's Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, CFPB released its annual report to Congress summarizing the consumer complaint data received in 2020. As expected, the COVID-19 pandemic contributed to a 54% increase in overall consumer complaints to the CFPB across all product and service types. However, the mortgage banking industry's performance through the pandemic was exemplary, with mortgage-related complaints increasing only 7.5% and mortgage servicing complaints actually declining 3.5% compared to 2019. Also last week, HUD announced that the FHA temporary allowance of endorsement of loans in forbearance will not be renewed and will expire on March 31st, 2021. HUD cited limited usage of the policy in its decision not to grant further extensions. A similar policy allowing purchases of loans in forbearance by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was sunset by the FHFA on December 31st, 2020. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Appreciate you, and I appreciate the MBA, all that they do there. Les Parker is here today with his TM Spotlight and this week's Macro View of the Markets. What you got, Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy. Thunder, feel the blunder, leading to the thunder. The ever-given blunder in the Suez led to lightning moves in oil and disrupted the recovery in the global supply chain. Initially, rates fell, but as the stuck boat blocked over 200 ships and delays continued, rates rose. If the next high tide frees the freighter, then expect a drop in rates as bonds focus on the increasingly gloomy U.S. GDP two-year forecast. They see economic activity in the first half of 2021, then steadily declining until 2023, when GDP returns to an anemic sub-3% growth. Expect volatile moves in the mortgage rates under Biden's shaky leadership, leading to the thunder. These views are my own. Want more? Go to tmspotlight.com.
Yeah, that boat. The Ever Given, which is owned by Evergreen, stuck in the Suez and really mucked it up there. There's a lot more to that story that I think that'll unfold as we get more into that. But yeah, my wife just sent me a text saying they got it free. Some are saying that's not accurate. Hopefully it is, because it sure mucked up that, and that's a big shipping lane. And it just really goes to one point. How precarious our whole economy is on certain things. We got this narrow channel that goes from the Red Sea up to the Mediterranean that cuts something like 9,000 nautical miles out of a shipping journey and saves, you know, gazillions of dollars, and how that one ship getting caught in a sandstorm, high winds, and some other malfunctions, which they haven't yet determined, blocks it, and how that can mess with the whole world economy. Pretty interesting how precarious we are, which is why we need a service such as Matt Graham offers today. And it has been for a while, and I love the service. So you're not stuck, thankfully. And it doesn't look like Les's prediction that, well, maybe not, the word hasn't gotten out yet that the ship is free, because I'm looking at what's going on in the 10-year, my friend, and it's a mess.
Yeah. I think we saw a reaction in oil, but bonds ended up going the other way. And, you know, to Les's credit, it's an input, right? And that input is going to have its effect, but there are other bigger inputs this morning, particularly. And the weird thing is, you know, you don't normally think about bonds and rates in terms of the stock market, the 9:30 a.m. NYSE opening bell type of thing. But right. a lot of times we do see pretty big moves right at 9:30 because, you know, A, markets are interconnected, mm-hmm. and B, there are vastly more ETFs that include bond components that start trading at 9:30 a.m. And as those get fired up for the day, it can create big trading needs in those, as well as just simple asset allocation stuff, especially at the end of the month, especially at the end of a quarter. And March has been an interesting month and quarter for those sorts of compulsory behind-the-scenes trades, which I think we talked about last time. But yeah, you know, we're adding global satellite boat tracking to MBS Live now, you know, just to try to stay current with the time.
There's another new screen coming on. That's hilarious.
Exactly,
I was watching some videos, but there are videos out there that track where every boat is out there, and it shows you where our warships are. It shows you where our the shipping lanes are, how much. I mean, it was insightful. Called our attention to just how many boats are out there. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can even key in a certain code to your electronics so that any other boat that's on the water can see where you are at any given time. And
that's amazing.
There are a lot more boats out there than people realize. But,
yeah.
The Suez is interesting. I had a friend come through the Suez Canal after buying a boat on the East Coast, and he said it was like one of the craziest experiences of his life. Sounded
oh, really?
Fun.
Yeah.
His wasn't quite wide enough to block the whole thing.
There may be some out there. But another thing, I'm looking at Fed Waller saying that central bank isn't keeping rates low for financing government debt. But you got some great stuff. I love your news, live news stream on here, but we could talk about this. But tell us what's going on. What are we going to hear this week?
Yeah, let's get into it. So real quick, getting caught up with last week. First, I'll do a quick rundown of the data. Markets aren't super tuned into the data right now, but some of it is interesting nonetheless. Existing home sales on Monday, a little bit weaker than expected, still very high relatively and a lot higher than people thought they'd be right now. 6.22 million versus 6.5 forecast. Next day, new sales fell 18.2%, and they were expected to fall 6.5. So a bit more of a contraction than normal. People were talking about the weather. People were talking about the fact that new home sales, a historically volatile report and it's prone to revisions. So we'll see what changes there in the next revision. Case in point, the next morning, MBA purchase applications rose, you know, by a moderate amount, but nonetheless higher. So indicating that, you know, the purchase market definitely isn't dead. And the refi volume ticked down about as much as you'd expect given the recent rise in rates, but is still at pretty decent levels. Durable goods, big miss, minus 1.1 versus a forecast of 0.8 rather. And really no reaction in the bond market. In fact, bonds started selling off after that, which was notable because you'd normally expect bonds to improve after a weaker durable goods report. That was our first clue that the week might be moving in a direction we didn't necessarily love, because at the beginning of the week, there were high hopes that we were seeing a consolidation after what has been a fairly rapid rate spike, historically large, not the biggest we've ever seen, but in a league of very big sell-offs. And to see bonds moving higher in yield after weaker economic data is a little bit spooky when you're looking for that sort of correction. Now, it was an auction cycle week, meaning Treasury had their scheduled note auctions, last week being 2, 5, and 7 year. Wednesday was the 5 year auction. That's generally the biggest ticket of the week in terms of that auction cycle. And it's not uncommon for investors to build in what's called a concession, simply meaning they're pushing prices lower in order to facilitate easier bidding at the auction process. Or prices are falling because they're planning on buying later in the day, and so they're not buying in the morning. Either way, that 5 year could have been that 5 year auction could have been the reason for a little bit of weakness on Wednesday. And yields began to rise, yields fell after the 5 year auction because it was a fairly decent auction. So yields were rising in the morning, falling in the afternoon. The next day, though, 7-year treasury auction, which hasn't ever really been a huge market mover other than the very the most recent one. Yet again, for the second month in a row, really, really horrible seven-year auction. This one was not nearly as bad as the last one, but bad enough to push yields higher. And then it has just been an uptrend since then, carried through Friday, carried through the beginning of the week, and really reinforced that it's not going to be an easy or fast process for rates to correct and go back where they came from. And what we were looking for from a technical standpoint was a break below 1.62 in terms of 10-year yields. We accomplished that on Wednesday and needed confirmation on Thursday. Confirmation can vary depending on who you ask, but I like to see yields hold below a technical level for at least two consecutive days, and they were not able to do that on Thursday. So now back around 1.7, more weakness this morning, not data-driven. In fact, we don't even have any relevant economic data yet this week. That will start tomorrow. We have home prices, not a big market mover, but interesting to the housing and mortgage market. Expected up more than 10% yet again, year over year. Consumer confidence expected up big, 96.9 versus 91.3 previously. Wednesday's biggest ticket would be Chicago PMI, seen coming in at 60.7. And keep in mind, Dave, when we're talking about these PMI reports, listeners should know that generally speaking, the PMI stuff is all based around an index value of 50 to 52 being sort of economically neutral. And anything higher than 52, because you subtract out 2 points for average inflation, I guess, speaks to economic expansion. And so Chicago PMI coming in at 60.7 would be a very healthy pace of expansion.
Good number,
Thursday, jobless claims seen down at 680 versus a 684 previously. And that's pretty close to where it came in last week, for that matter. ISM manufacturing, hey, speaking of the manufacturing PMI, also seen at 61.3, so balmy manufacturing growth. And construction spending seen down a little bit after rising last month, not a big market mover. Then Friday, the biggie, NFP, the big jobs report, they are forecasting a substantial increase up to 639,000 new jobs from 379 last time. So that would be a big increase, but it is actually even more interesting by the time you look at the average work week, which is coming in at 34.7 hours a week. Now, that doesn't sound like a big number for those of us that work 60 hours a week or, you know, plus or minus 10 hours, but the work week tends to average 34.5 hours over the past decade, give or take.
Yeah.
So big increases in that are, you know, a 0.1 hour increase is notable. So being up at 34.7 would be like an extra 100,000 jobs added to the economy if we were still at 4.5 hours. So if the work week does tick up, it just is going to speak to extra pent up slack in the labor market, more potential jobs coming back into the market when people are better able to return to work. It really tells us, if that thing does go up to 34.7 and jobs increase, it really tells us that employers are looking for more people to come back to work. And those people may be waiting in the wings to come back to work when their kids get back in school or when they're feeling you know, more confident about COVID, or whether that means vaccinations or whatnot. Either way, it suggests, hey, maybe the labor market recovery could be a little bit better than some of the economic bears expect it to be. And last but not least, as part of that jobs report, economists are seeing unemployment rate falling to 6.0 from 6.2. So if all of these things coincide on Friday, I think we could see the first instance of a jobs report really having a meaningful impact on the bond market, although that has not been the trend recently.
Yeah. All putting potential upward pressure on everything.
Good. You got it.
Yep. Yeah, that's not what we want. But you know, the companies that focus on the purchase volume, you know, their business, the pipelines are still doing well. I mean, we got great stuff. We got housing supply issues. That's a whole nother
thing. We need some inventory. That's for sure.
We need some inventory. You did such a good job. I love your screen, and I love the fact that you give our listeners the LOL code, Lickin' on Lending code. You double the free trial without a credit card requirement. And so I think the number of people that I got hooked on this as a result of you joining the podcast, I mean, I keep hearing about it. Lickin', I love this. I turned it on. I don't understand. And they go, and so people are signing up and getting encouraged. So check it out. Be sure to do so, Matt. Appreciate the report each and every week. You have a great week. If we don't talk to you beforehand, happy Easter. Good Friday.
Yeah.
You got a short day of Friday and markets close early. Are you gonna take
you
some time off?
Happy Easter day. Yeah. Market closure on, I don't see it on Monday, but we do have an early close on Friday.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I meant Friday. If I said Monday, my bad. But anyway, Matt, appreciate you, friend. Yeah. You do a great job.
Yeah, have a good rest of your week.
You betcha, friend. Do appreciate it. Alice Alvey called at the last minute saying, I can't join. I had one of my trainers cancel out, and I've got to do some training. But she said, she also wrote, she says, honestly, there isn't a lot to report right now. But we just always love to have Alice in her comments. So I'll just say this. Go check out Alice's segment on the webpage. It is one that really gets downloaded a lot. So check out Alice's reports, and we'll get moving right on to Alan Pollock. He is here. Alan, how are you, friend?
I am doing great. David Lickin, how are you?
I'm good. Alan Pollock with the tech update. Sometimes I get so excited about getting everyone on, I don't finish my thought all the way through. My wife was pointing that out this week. And she goes, you interrupt yourself a lot, and you don't. It's sometimes a challenge to follow you, Dave, because you move quickly through your thoughts, and you know people can't read what you intend to say. I go, good point. So I've got something for you this time. I got this new technology. It's a wearables. We're talking about wearables and what it can do for your health.
Okay.
It's O-U-R-A. It's Aura. And it's an Aura ring. And this ring measures your sleep, how you sleep, how often you go into REM sleep. I don't know how it does it. It looks like a wedding ring on my right hand. And roaring on the ring finger, and it is quite interesting, the amount of data. But I'm getting, for a sanguine, outgoing personality kind of guy, which, you know, you wouldn't think, but yeah. I have this geeky side of me. I want data, data, data. So I wake up, I'm sleeping, and I'm tossing and turning in the middle of the night going, oh, shoot, it's going to have bad stats. So last night was one of those nights where I woke up a couple of times, tossed and turned a little bit, and going, crap, my scores are going to be terrible. This is actually better. So if we have technology that can measure how you're sleeping, what else is out there? And that's why you're here. Tell us about what else is out there. Pretty cool stuff. Aura.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's, there's a whole thing of these wearables. It was kind of funny. There's an article in Wired magazine. As you said it, I just quickly Googled it, and it's a review of the Aura ring. Now, it's a little dated. It goes back to September. But it said, because at first they were saying the ring, or some people said the ring can help detect COVID days before. This article says, no, you can't diagnose yourself with COVID but by wearing a ring, but it can tell me when my period is coming. So, David, if you need to know when your period is coming, you can wear the ring.
That's bad. This can tell you.
It's $300. It's not cheap, and it does all the great stuff. I can tell you that I've heard some reviews of folks that had the Apple Watch, the new one that looks at oxygen levels. And when they did have COVID, they did use that with their doctor to actually keep track of how they were doing with their oxygen levels.
I do. I monitor that all the time. I got the newest watch, and I'm loving it. And it does an EKG. I mean, going like, you couldn't read an EKG. I just want to make sure, because my dad had arrhythmia. And so
atheist, yeah.
And knowing that is out there in the family gene pool, I realized I'm going, I want to double check that. So if I have any feeling like, most of the time, it's just because I had too much coffee. So anyway, what's going on in the world of mortgage technology, my friend?
There is just so much. I don't even know where to start. Let's start non-mortgage. You know, back to not really cancel culture, but not freedom of the press culture, maybe. And Facebook has frozen Venezuelan leaders' account over misinformation that Facebook says that they put out there. We've got the Volkswagen buzz going for, they're bringing back the Love Bus, but it's fully electric in 2023. And I don't know if you knew this, David, but the Amazon warehouse workers this week will decide to unionize. all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And we also know that the ship has finally been freed from the Suez Canal, 200,000-ton ship, which is absolutely crazy and probably really interesting how they did it. I don't know.
It is. I was watching this.
Fun to take a look at.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, the last piece of non-mortgage news I kind of just bring up because it's Elon Musk, Tesla, and Bitcoin, and, you know, blockchain's a big deal and Bitcoin's a big deal or becoming. So, I, you know, you really can't buy a house in Bitcoin, but today or as of last week, you can now buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. And it sent the price of cryptocurrency soaring. So if you have a bunch of crypto sitting around or Bitcoin and you wanted a Tesla and you didn't want to affect your bank account or let anyone know about it, you can head over to a Tesla dealer. So let's talk. Let's talk, David, or you wanted a ring to know, you know, how your health is doing. But let's talk mortgage. So this is really cool. Rocket Mortgage and Mint have now created together in partnership a digital mortgage solution. You now can get approved without leaving the Mint app. And it is, they call it magic in the Rocket Mortgage API. I love marketing spin, right? And of course, they said it's the first of many and many more to come. And they had one last quote, which I thought was kind of funny. They say, from app to accurate rate confirmation and approval in just 8 minutes. So check it out. There's a lot of those kind of special relationships where you've got these folks like Mint that have these this large following, right? They have distribution. They've got borrowers. And so you'll probably see more of these types of things as people try and capture that audience or their audience. So very interesting. David, $16.3 million in a Series B. That probably makes you think of how you could spend it all at a Tesla dealership without Bitcoin. Well, TMC, our friends at the Mortgage Collaborative, love this. They've made their first ever tech investment, which is so cool. It's called the TMC Emerging Tech Fund, and they've invested in Maxwell Series B preferred shares of financing. The 16.3 million Bs went through a number of different people. TMC participated. I don't know how much they participated, but they did. The news was announced end of last week, and you can see some stuff about it this week. The great part about it is that they now are providing their members with forward-looking mortgage companies to help accelerate the impact of the industry by investing in these different companies. So what a fantastic model. What a great thing for Maxwell and really a great thing for the industry. And so kudos to TMC. If you're interested in finding out more, you can take a look at them. And, of course, we've got a lot of our listeners that are members of TMC, so I'm sure you already know about it. When are we going to get the Lickin' on Lending tech fund, David?
I know. We got to get one of those going. Yeah. I've got a tech fund.
Maybe you can sell some of your Bitcoin and we can just go buy a couple tech companies.
I'd look at that.
Offer it at a discount to our
listeners. Gosh, that's crazy.
So
what
in the world of big tech, right?
Yep.
Where could have said it? In the world of big tech and all these crazy things we have going on, right? All these tech solutions. How about a non-tech solution for the folks that haven't finished their tech solution? So if your volume is off the rails, and by the way, this is an unsolicited advertisement. I just love this so much. Unsolicited, if your tech implementations are gone sideways, you haven't started, they're not done yet, or you're just not ready, or you have more volume than you can handle, ComputerShare Loan Services has processors, underwriters, and closers that can immediately jump in and pick up the volume. That's really important, especially if your technology projects are not ready for day one, go to market. It's a way for you not to feel the pain or the burn so much and the ability to get things just right or to continue to test or find a good partner. And I think in the world of everything, everyone's forcing so much tech on everybody, there's non-tech solutions out there that will also help. So take a look at that. David, you know the airport when you go to Clear and, you know, slowly starting to show up in more and more airports.
I use it.
Well, there's a tech services provider. Yeah, I don't think it's the same technology, but they call it Clear. It's called Canopy. And they just did a partnership with Mobi. Mobi apparently provides this underlying technology known as Clear, and it's meant more for in the fraud space. It's a user identification technology. And what it does is it's meant for mortgage and real estate, and that authenticates users through visual biometrics. So imagine starting part of the transaction or some part of the real estate transaction and that continuing forward and being your identification all the way through the process. And it looks like that's what they're trying to do. I don't know if it's tied to any other services or anything else you do. Maybe facial recognition on your phone. I'm not sure. There's definitely more to find out there. But, you know, as we look at kind of trending tech and new things, Clear may be another way that we continue to validate that we are who we say we are, especially for remote online closings and different things like that. It's definitely something to take a look at. All right, let's head over to fraud. Just because of that, I thought I'd just pick the internet's brain and see what was out there for fraud. And what I found was that First American, get this, they have been able to reduce the average review rate for fraud, okay, meaning fabricated income, fictitious employment, EPDs, early payment defaults, undisclosed debt, all the different areas in which fraud occurs, from 60 to 70%.
Wow.
To as little as 10% using what they call a targeted risk score. And they have basically a predictive model and a pattern recognition system where they create a score and they identify with you based on those patterns the level of fraud. Now, you know, we always talk about it. Everybody uses in the news and their press releases. They say things like machine learning, artificial intelligence, all those different things. Well, predictive modeling and AI is clearly what has done it here. And so I think that's really interesting. And we're going to see more things like that. Being able to score attributes and values of loan data, provide, you know, patterns and algorithms and going back and looking at vintage, all different ways to create what that predictive model is. Our industry's used it forever, right? But now bringing it to the forefront and making it more available to everybody. So First American is doing that to identify all those different areas of fraud, especially fabricated income. I think that's huge, fictitious employment. So check it out, First American. And then, you know, David, we talked a little bit last week regarding what I was talking about with product principles, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we also brought up, you know, gamification and the ability to even gamify, even if you have a bad system, right? You're not happy with it or you don't know if it's working great, right? To gamify how people use it, even if it's as simple as embedding videos and walk-me tutorials. So important. And, you know, I only bring that up again this week because there's so many different ways to do it. And I thought it would be one person reached out to me and actually asked, you know, what was the technology you mentioned? It's a company out there. There's a couple of them. It's called WalkMe, W-A-L-K-M-E. And it gets installed with a couple snippets of code on your website or your application, just like Google Analytics. And what it does is it just slides right over and it knows what page you're on. You can have curated content directly for that page. You can embed videos. Your knowledge base is searchable. The best part about it is it creates that instant gratification to the consumer or to your internal user. Imagine, you know, a room full of auditors, underwriters, and loan openers and processors having instant information at their hands. What if you put compliance info in there, right? Gamify the experience. Doesn't mean a physical game. It means to create that curated experience. Right. So anyways, check it out. Lots of fun. WalkMe.com. Super easy to implement. And there's a lot of other technologies like that. Product principles. We can talk more about another area of product principles next week. But for the gentleman that reached out to me about WalkMe and the idea he wanted to do with it, I thought I'd just mention it again this week.
Yeah, it's so true. Several people reached out to me as well. The whole gamification of everything is that to really engage the millennials? Is that what it is? I mean, there was a certain level of frustration in his voice as he talked about it, but I go, no. I mean, I think this is just general common sense. I think you need to be checking it out. So that's also, did you mention another one last week, or was it just WalkMe?
No, it's just WalkMe. Look, we have friends of our radio program at the Knowledge Coop, and they've got different types of technology as well. It's more about the world of instant gratification and quick access, right? No one reads the instruction manuals anymore. We need to curate and provide content to them on demand where they expect to already have it.
It's good stuff. Fascinating.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate touching on that again because it did bring about some feedback in. So, and then also, if you're wanting to get ideas and talk to Alan, how did he reach out to you? Was it by email or was it phone?
Email.
Yep.
That's right. LinkedIn, email. I get them coming from all different places. It's Allen at TMS-advisors.com.
Appreciate you being on the team. So glad to have you be a part of the podcast each and every week, Alan. And thanks for the update. Have a great week, Alan. And if you can participate in the Hot Topic segment, great. So, folks, that wraps up Mortgage Weekly Update. We're going to move now. For those of you listening live, we're going to move right on in to the Hot Topic segment. For those of you listening on a downloaded basis, just move on to the next podcast. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as CMLA, Indicom, Accelerate Mobility, Mortgage Markets Intelligence, as well as MODEX, as well as the MBA, Knowledge Scoop, Lenders One, and Mortgage Collaborative. Folks, so good to have you being here with us. Tell others about the podcast. There's a lot of information we cover here, and you won't go wrong, and you can just share it and listen to it in a passive way when you're coming and going. You'll be amazed how it'll help your career. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to talking with you soon.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.